This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. It's the 2nd of September 2019. This is the Gareth Cliff Show. Sans Gareth Cliff, because he's living his best life. Gugu's here. Good morning.
Good morning, Sia. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good.
Well, there we go. I was going to ask you, you answered first. Leanne is here. Good morning, Leanne.
All good. Happy just after spring day.
Yeah, I don't buy it because it's still a little chilly. Yeah. So we're getting
always, every spring day.
And then we have Michael Flagg.
Good morning.
Yay.
Do you see the sun's out already, eh?
Yeah, it is getting better.
It's getting exciting.
Mm.
We aren't there yet, though.
No, but you know, like, December's like around the corner. People start planning their December trips right about now.
I'm proud to say my December's now officially planned.
What are you doing?
Done and dusted. Spending some time in Durban, then some time in Cape Town as well.
Oh, nice. Where are you going to be for New Year's, though?
Cape Town.
Yeah,
Christmas with the family in Durban, even though everyone is on their own accord and we won't be together, but it's fine. The idea is we're still there. And I think we could be like putting the last final touches to moving our family home. And don't get me started on that because it's like anxiety and juicing.
Moving your family home.
Yeah, my parents have decided that, you know, it's basically them living in this house now. Mm-hmm. And they just want to scale down. So they want to sell our house.
Oh.
So you guys can't visit anymore because they're going to scale down, right? It's going to be a smaller space.
Yeah, it will be a smaller space. And on paper, it's still the new home. Wherever our parents will be home. But for me, it just doesn't feel right.
That old bedroom of yours that you left locked. It's gone.
See, thanks. This is why I said I don't want to get started on it, because then I'll sound so paranoid. But it just, it just doesn't feel right to me.
Well, I mean, they're getting
I get you completely.
We've lived in this house since 1997. I was 2 years old. So ever since then, that's all I knew. That's like where I, you know, that's where we swam all the time. That's where we brought friends over. That's where, you know, there are just countless memories there. And now we have to let that go.
No, completely.
And that doesn't
understand.
Feel okay to me. It's such a baby thing, but I know it matters.
So you're going to have one last shindig at the house before you vacate.
Well, this is the funny thing as well. The last time I was in Durban, I think a couple of weeks ago, I was very vocal with my parents about this. Like, look, I know I get it on paper. You guys need to do this. Go ahead, live your best life. But I'm not liking this at all. To the point where my parents actually drove me to this new place of theirs that they're going to get. They're like, is it fine? You know, look, it's not so bad.
Is
you know,
it still
you
in Durban?
It's still in Durban, but it's like, it's not our family house. Uh-huh. It's not the same.
How many siblings do you have?
3 older sisters.
Well, I mean, if you guys really want to keep the old place, you could buy it from them. It's a family home, you know?
Oddly enough, you aren't the first person to raise this up.
Yeah.
And I know I'm attached to the house, but I'm not that attached. I'm not interested in that sort of responsibility, but anyway.
There's literally been this dream of mine since I was like, maybe like 14 years old, that when I get rich in life, I'm going to buy back all my old houses like Monopoly.
And do what?
And just
them?
Walk through them and remember those memories and take my kids and
them,
be like, yeah, this was my room and this was the parents' room and this is where I broke my arm for the first time and
this is where I broke my virginity. Like,
think of that Travis Scott documentary where he takes him back to his old house and he's like, now
is this the new one on Netflix?
Yeah, it's so good.
Really?
They're really well filmed. Like, it like pumps you up during the documentary. But he takes you to his old house and he's like, yeah, this is my bed over here. Nothing's changed. In the corner over here is where I started producing my first songs. And you're just looking at this dude who's like worth millions and millions of dollars, sharing a one bedroom with his brother. And in the corner, he's busy making his music.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
Okay. I think I'm not that attached.
But don't you ever drive past your old house and like, you stare at it as you drive past and you remember
you
a couple memories.
House, you?
Well, you see, I don't have that experience. I only have this one house.
We used to have a house in Lyndhurst, and every time I drive past it, I like try peek my head over the wall from the car and just see if they've changed the color or if they've added anything to the front of it.
I'd feel like I'd want to chase those people out.
So the same has happened to me, and I just don't drive. Look, firstly, it's miles and miles away, but I don't drive past it because it would break my heart to see if they'd done something ridiculous with it.
Wouldn't you want to go inside it?
No.
Oh, I'd love to go inside it.
No, because I know that the way we had it in its appearance was the best that it could ever have been. It's also in an area where people don't have great taste, so they've probably bastardized it, to be quite honest. So I'd rather let sleeping dogs lie and just never see it again.
Well, I had a pseudo brunch meets therapy session with a friend of mine on Saturday. We touched on this topic just a bit, and I think I've hit the nail on the head of what this means and why a move like this really upsets me. And to me, it's the feeling of home. Because now, like, I don't live in Durban anymore, and, you know, my sisters and I are all over the place, and now the house, the physical house, is the last bit of home that I had. And if we now lose that, it really does mean, like, shucks, put your big boy pants on, you're growing up, things are changing.
Well, that's the thing now, it's got to the stage where you are supposed to be creating that home.
Yeah.
Where you're going to have memories.
Where are you going to raise your lights?
Excuse me, I just need to cry in the corner.
So it's come to you and your sisters now to create these homes where you'll bring up your children, that they'll have the same memories.
Yeah. You grew up in Durban as well.
I grew up in Durban as well.
Do you still have the same family house? Or
We've moved around a lot.
You need to go closer to the microphone.
Yeah, that's it.
Or bring the mic closer to you.
Come here, boy. There you go.
Gugu, I pray for you more than I pray for myself.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Yeah, like, appreciate people that pray for me. So we've moved around a lot, man. And I think there's one home in particular that holds such deep memories. Mm-hmm. It's a home I grew up in as, like, a small child in Toti. Mm-hmm. You know Toti?
Yeah.
Whenever I'm in Durban, I try go past that area because I used to walk to school, walk home type of thing.
Yeah. Man, it's we just all need to figure this out for ourselves. That's all.
You know you've made it when you can purchase a house right by the school and the kids can walk to school. Mm. That's like my dream as well. That's one of the criterias for a house I want. Mm. I want the kids to walk to school.
No, not for me. Yeah. To me, it's like, those houses are cheaper, man. The ones that are opposite schools.
But I also heard
it's so noisy and traffic and taxis.
And then the killer will get your kids while they're just innocently walking to school. No thanks.
Yeah, it's like the opposite that I want. It's really near the school. Oh, no.
Do you know how cool that would be? The kids, like, do their own thing. They go play on the field after school. And whenever they want, they just come home.
They just come home.
My dogs and cats. No thanks. You can keep the children far away.
Well, anyway, so how were your weekends? What did everyone get up to?
I don't know. It's like the month of farewells. All my friends are now going to go study overseas. Big ups to them. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
So I had that on Saturday night, and I had a birthday party on Friday night. Ooh. A good theme for a birthday party when you start hitting your mid-20s is karaoke. You cannot go wrong with karaoke. Little cost to it because you just hire the machine and everyone brings alcohol because you need alcohol.
Yeah.
And then you just wait till alcohol starts kicking in and then the karaoke starts going.
Well, that window period of karaoke being awesome lasts well into like mid-50s because I've seen some middle-aged women holding onto that machine, singing Journey's Don't Stop Believing, and you're like, please stop.
Classics.
Just sit down and stop that right now.
It starts getting harder and harder to come up with ideas for birthdays the older you get, because you're not sure what your friends are still into.
Yeah.
Like, are your friends still wanting to go to the club at 27 years old?
Well, I've just never liked the idea of themed parties in any case.
I like themed, like a set party. Like they say, oh, there's karaoke or there's face painting. Not face painting to say, but I hate dress up parties where you have to go put in effort before the party and then still maintain that effort during the party, if that makes sense.
Well, you've got nothing to worry about, really. I don't think you'll run out of stuff because by the time you get to the end of the list, you're not going to be having parties anymore because you'll only have them every 10 years with the people who are turning 10 years older into the 30s, 40s, 50s.
Oh, what age you start celebrating just the zero numbers, like 40,
30,
from 30 onwards.
Leanne.
You won't have a big party.
Oh, shame.
You'll start... No, it's thank God.
Why? No, for you. Everyone else is like, we still want a party.
Please
we
don't take me to a party. Let me just go with a few of my friends to a really nice restaurant. But no.
Okay, I get it. No, I still want to celebrate like my 33rd, very randomly.
Yeah, I think I would stop like around about 38, 39, and then it's more like just a family thing. It's just, you have the kids and the family Friday night dinner and that's it.
I suppose for me, it's always been a family thing because my mom's birthday is on the same day as mine. So
that's pretty cool.
It is very cool.
It wasn't cool for her mother when she was possibly in labor on the day.
When she was 25 and I was arriving 3 weeks late.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that. And also in my family's case as well, my mother's birthday is a day before one of my sisters. And she never forgets that, saying like, technically you ruined my birthday because I was in labor.
Sure. We've got in September, it's my mother's birthday, my mother's sister's birthday, my mother's sister's daughter's birthday, and my birthday.
So you're also on the same day as your mom?
No, in September.
Oh, right.
Same month.
I thought you were all on the same day.
No.
Well, I don't know what Carl is referencing already, but if you want to be like Carl, you can text on 079-748-2090. Carl says, hello, Leanne. Please explain to Michael that the plural of criterion is criteria, not criterias.
Yes.
Thanks. What, did you use the word criteria?
Very possibly did.
Okay. You probably said criterias.
But now, the criterion.
Well,
there's one criterion and many criteria.
I'm going to be honest now. I didn't know there was a word such there's as your criterion. Word for the day, boy. I thought it was. Never mind. Okay. Thanks, Carl. You taught all of us a lot of things this morning.
Well, it's very seldom that you'll actually make a deal where there is one criterion.
Yeah, it's the criteria.
Yeah. Usually a deal will involve many criteria.
Oh, wait. So criterion is when there's one single criteria?
No, when there's one single criterion.
When there's one single criterion.
But you know, since I'm presumptuous, I now want to use the word
I'm
criterion.
I'm
going to
use it today.
Just today.
Think of examples where there's just one, which is nothing.
Well, the only, you know, you just have to abide by my criterion.
Yeah, there is one criterion if you want to join this group.
Yes.
I suppose, there we go.
You're going to go like to a one-way street and be like, you see, the criterion over here is to turn left.
Yes.
So frustrating, but I'll use it. Leanne, what did you get up to this weekend?
Not so much this weekend, but I didn't speak about it last week. I went to the launch of something called Go Hustle, which a really cool platform that's just been put together by some of the editors from Women's Health magazine.
Do they promote people going out and hustling?
Yes.
See that? See what I did there? That was a
good women
guess.
In particular. So it's a platform for South African women to reach and get the job of their dreams. Mm-hmm. The stats are so high of companies still employing men over women. Companies that still have a huge salary pay gap.
Mm-hmm.
And also the fact that there are hundreds of thousands of women who are educated and have the job of their dreams in mind. They have the skills, the talents. They're probably doing this job on the side as their side hustle because it's what they really want to do, but it doesn't bring in the bucks because they're not well connected yet. And this is creating a group of women who are connected. So, for instance, older people, like very old people like myself and my business partners who have all the experience, who will be able to be approached by someone who says, please, can I join your team? I want to learn as much as I can. And just helping people to turn their passion projects into their 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool. So if you do want to join the network, go to gohustle.co.za. It's all happening there. Already there are thousands of jobs that are listed, which is quite cool.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice
Monday. I didn't expect much of a feedback from you guys, but
that was quite deep, though. Hey,
I was
Monday.
Like, geez, okay, you're giving us stats and numbers and how this employment.
People are, exactly, like disadvantaged and paid less.
Y'all thought maybe bad. You'd say I was just, you know, drinking at this event.
You don't have to feel bad. You didn't cause it.
I was drinking at this event this weekend.
Yeah, great segue, Google.
Right? So there was an event put together by Mini Cooper,
mm-hmm.
celebrating their 60th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
They invited me over there. I took a plus one. Went over there.
Who did you take as your plus one?
Oh, no. I didn't take any girl. Like, the girls, like, in my radar right now are not...
Who's on your
standard?
Radar,
up to, they're not up to standard.
Of course, because, no. You know, you are also just perfection personified.
What
you know
are your this, criteria?
Boy, I don't need to tell yeah. you.
Or criterion.
What is your criteria or criterion?
Well, I mean, you guys know it's got to be exotic. Leanne figured out what that was, remember?
I still roll my
like Latina.
Yeah, you described it. You're like Latina, golden brown skin, you know?
Which you're not going to get a lot of in this country.
Oh, you do. It depends where you on where you look.
Because we're nowhere near Spain or the Latin countries or South America.
Cape Town.
I can find you Mjapere from Lesotho.
No, I'm good.
Golden
I'm good.
Skin. That's also exotic.
I'm good. But anyway, I went out to this event, had fun.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that got me was it's spring, right? Everyone's going on about spring. But it was puss cold out there.
Freezing cold.
Yeah,
we had a cold front come in on Saturday night.
Yeah, not great.
Where was it? Outside?
Out in the Machalis area.
So,
was it outside?
Yeah,
it was outside.
No.
Mm.
And the wind was blowing this weekend.
That August wind.
Well, speaking of how cold it was over the weekend, shout out to, you know, I feel like we have a very core and committed audience space of people who listen to us here. So shout out to this young lady who I bumped into at like 2 a.m. on Sunday morning. And I thought, you know what? This is not going to go well. So rather, let me just not talk to you further. I had gone out earlier on Saturday evening, and similar to you, Michael, a friend of mine is also actually going abroad. So we had a farewell for her. I got home late at night and was still up. I was watching some TV and was at around like 2, and I felt a little hungry. There wasn't really much.
A little hungry?
Yeah, I was just a little hungry. And there wasn't really much in the house. So I thought, let me just order some pizza and I'll go and pick it up. It's no schlep for me. Cause
at 2 in the morning?
Yeah, there's a pizza store. That's
oh my word,
just
I'm
like,
exhausted just thinking about that.
There was a stone's throw away. Now you imagine though what you look like at 2 in the morning. And mind you, at this time...
Well, I don't know, I'm usually asleep.
I was like catching up on some movies and I'd curled up on my couch and I had a throw on the couch which I'd now wrapped myself in. I looked like an odd version of E.T. And I thought, am I really going to get out of this and change just to go and collect pizza? Like, not going to happen. Not at all.
No one's looking, right?
Exactly. It's like, who's there at 2 a.m.? Well, there were
people. Oh, no.
No, it's probably a party happening there. The biggest
it
bar.
Because that's where people leave the club and they go straight to the pizza joint. Yeah. And I thought, oh, shucks. And I was like, I'm just going to commit. Get out of the car, grab your pizza, leave. And I did. I shuffled into the pizza shop, draped in my throat. Like,
you basically look like a homeless person.
I really did.
Or like you were going to get your grant.
I really did. And all I hear is this young lady saying, oh, so is what sort of fashion look is this, Sia?
Oh.
I'm like,
she knows who I am.
I don't know what's happening here. So I look over at her. I just like giggle a little. I'm like, hi. She goes, oh, thank you guys. I listen to the show. I love the show. I'm like, great, cool. I went and I collected the pizza and I called it a day. I did not want that moment to last any longer than it did. It was a little awkward to say the
that
least.
That is too much. Oh, my word.
I actually also met someone who listens to the show over the weekend. Do you guys remember that show where we went to a movie premiere and we were sitting at the back and we were exhausted and we all left halfway through the movie? And the next day that dude phoned in saying he was so disappointed. We all left early. He wanted to meet us.
Oh, yeah. That's
I met that guy.
Where did you meet him?
He was at the house party I went to.
And?
I think he's still pretty miffed we left early.
What?
Because he remembered it. And then he like started explaining it to me. And I remember his phone call coming into the show. And then him saying we left early. And then we were like, oh, we're so sorry, etc. And then as we put down the phone, we're like, this dude, we wake up at like 5:30 in the morning. Where's the respect? We're exhausted.
You see, there's accountability. You can't just think we're sitting in this room and just...
But that was like 3, 4 years ago, yeah. And I still remember it so vividly.
And it clearly matters to him. That's why he hasn't forgotten it still. But also, just for me, my weekend. What?
What was that?
I just had a memory.
Of what?
I give her a second.
Oh, it's along those lines exactly.
Uh-oh.
Realizing years and years later that somebody really took offense to something that you did.
Oh, no.
We were on 5FM at the time with Gareth.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman phoned in and she had an opinion about something. And... Oh, no, it wasn't. Sorry. Damon said this guy has phoned in, all right? It was a man.
Mm-hmm.
And his name was Gary or whatever. And we said, oh, okay, what does Gary have to say about this? And he went, well, I think what we should... And I burst out laughing immediately. And then he went, what are you laughing at? And I was like, I'm sorry, no, just carry on. And eventually Gareth said, listen, are you a guy or a girl? And he said, I'm a guy. I'm a man. Anyway, we laugh. We couldn't help ourselves, like right now, right? I go to this function for work, and there's a man standing at the bar, blah, blah, blah. I'm reaching over him to order a drink, and he goes, hi, Leanne. I really have a bone to pick with you, but by this stage, I've forgotten, right? Because it's like 3 years later.
You recognize the voice?
I'd forgotten who. Yeah, I was shocked by the voice again. Re-shocked. And he said, you guys were really nasty to me. And I wanted to say, oh, I wonder how.
I wonder why.
I went, really? Why? What happened? He said, no, I phoned in.
I phoned in and
you said, you laughed because of my voice. So I wanted to say, but it's funny. But I was like,
oh, no.
So I denied it. I went, no, I don't remember that at all. I would never have done that.
This is like a proper grown man.
Yes.
Do you think like he had like a problem or just was his voice natural?
Also, if you know, surely people around him have told him, okay, this is what you sound like, unless you hadn't picked it up yourself. So surely by people laughing at it, he must be used to the situation. Surely he'd be able to say, I know I've got a really high voice. It's just my thing.
Yeah, and by now you should just own it, dude. If there's nothing you can do around it, then excuse.
Stop walking around 3 years later still wondering why people might laugh.
Phoning into radio stations.
Why would you do that?
Oh, shame. That's a little awkward. Well, talking about as well... I just have a face palm moment that I want to share with all of you because let's just get it out of the way now. Let's have a family meeting. Why don't we? So Steve Harvey interview from last week. It's a really big deal for me.
And yes.
I think, you know, just it's major that we were able to get Steve.
I still haven't heard the whole thing. It's on my list.
Oh, you need to.
Right. Oh, thanks.
It was good. I mean, I paid you a compliment on Friday, remember?
And I was surprised, but pleasantly surprised. No, I really thought it was cool.
Yeah.
The fact that I got to sit down with him for 25 minutes was really, really awesome. And we played out the interview at 7:30 on Friday.
Yeah.
Being the fact being that we are also talking to his team, you know, I thought, no, we need to like ramp it up. So I say, you know, like to the team here, let's edit it. Let's add some sound, some effects, some, you know, swooshes. Let's really impress them before we send the link to his team. And we did. I think stellar job to the entire.
I'd like to hear that version.
I also haven't heard that version.
It's also available on cliffcentral.com right now. But I just want to play a bit of it. For you, because it's going to lead to this face palm moment, right? So this is just the beginning of the edited version of the Steve Harvey interview that's now available on cliffcentral.com.
This is cliffcentral.com.
A lot of talent, hard work, admittedly
right,
fake,
you need to do like the introduction.
That's what sustained my guest throughout his career and still continues to push him forward as he explores a new chapter on the African continent.
Sounds like so National far so Geographic. Good, right?
Sounds like National Geographic.
Yeah, it sounds like carte blanche, right? Actually.
Uh-huh.
Very serious. There's a music building up to it. There's a voiceover work.
It's like a documentary.
Yeah, I had to clear my throat a couple of times, drink some hot water to get that down pat, right? So far so good.
Right.
Mm.
Here's a moment, guys. You have to listen very particularly to the wording of everything. Leanne, as a grammar Nazi as well, I think you'll be able to pick this up first.
He's a stand-up comic, an astute broadcaster, and best-selling author. What I got a glimpse of in this interview, though, is he's more inclined to define himself as a devoted family man and someone rooted in a deeper sense of self.
Profound,
needless to say, there are a few names that need no introduction, and this legend is one of them.
Ladies and gentlemen, show your love for HBO's one man, Mr. Steve Harvey!
Also sounding good, still fine for now. And then
it said Steve Harper.
No, it does say Steve Harvey. No, that I would make sure
okay.
we get right. So then it goes into a little clip that Steve does from his HBO special years ago when we played some of that. I still think for now it's very impressive, right? And then
TV and radio.
Let's see, there we go.
Right in the thick of it.
All day.
Okay.
That's cause it's gonna be plenty room. You ain't ever heard nobody say they're gonna walk around hell all day, have you? Cause it's gonna be packed. Oh, they're gonna be up in there.
That was taken from Mr. Steve Harvey's 1997 HBO special, One Man, right in the thick of his stand-up comedy career. But that was merely the first couple of steps in an even bigger and greater career. He'd go on to tour some more, star in and create movies, write New York best-selling books, and host...
Excuse me, what was that? He'd write what sort of books?
New York best-selling books.
Oh, no.
He picked New it up? New York Times. It's not New York best-selling books. It's in the New York Times publication.
I feel like 9 out of 10 people are going to let that one slide.
Yeah, okay. It's not too bad.
No,
this is the
and
problem.
And you're the one that didn't let it slide.
This is the pickle we're now in, deciding what to do about it. We've already sent it to his team. His team likes it. Well, and we publicized the whole entire weekend.
Yeah, they may not have picked it up, just like
I
us.
I doubt they picked
Did you
it,
pick
up?
It up.
No.
I
feel like they're saying that, but then they might just listen back and go, idiot.
Asshole.
No.
Who says something
so
like that?
So is that the only problem?
That's the problem.
Oh, no. Don't worry about that.
You would leave it?
You know what? I'm in PR.
Mm-hmm.
And the media get things wrong, a little bit wrong every now and then. And it's kind of accepted. It's
don't like, think they're going to attack you for that.
They
one.
Don't expect it to be perfect.
Look, it's not about me, but it is about me.
It is
me.
About you.
And it See, is about...
It's about your pride. It's
yes,
about...
Yes, yes. And this is how I realized it. So we had spent the whole morning on Friday re-editing it properly and changing things around. And finally, with all of these effects done, I thought, you know, while I'm on my way home, let me listen to it in the car. Because, you know, so often you edit things and it sounds particular in a studio. But so often, even musicians will record a song and then they do the car test, which is they play what they've recorded in the car. Because that's how a lot of people will be listening to it. And as soon as I listen to it, 2 minutes and 30 seconds in, that's what I heard.
No, don't worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think you're cool. What, by the way, what does Steve Harvey smell like?
What does he
smell like? Like strong cologne or oaky?
Hot doggy.
Did anything, he go in for a hug? Did he here? Do the handshake?
We shook hands and...
Overconfident handshake or sort of like soft handshake?
Well, it has big, meaty hands.
You just had to use meaty over there.
No, they're just very big and meaty. I think that helps you with the picture in your mind. Yeah, I don't know anything else. Okay. I didn't really
and
notice
the smell. So not like...
Does his breath smell though?
Guys...
I don't think Tia was that far in.
Yeah, no.
You didn't lean in. You should be able to pick it up if it's bad.
No, and plus then halfway through, just a quarter into the interview, we actually had to pause because he ordered a drink. So,
really?
Yeah.
Non-alcoholic?
It is alcoholic.
What was it? Like what those red ones with the tomato juice?
Bloody Mary. You see, guys, so here's the thing. Now they're going to hate me because I said New York best-selling books, and then also they're going to hate me because I'm putting him on blast. But yeah, he's a great drinker. He had a like 25-year-old whiskey.
Oh man!
And I also last like, oh, geez, wonder how much that is. But yeah, it was a 25-year-old whiskey, guys. It's 6:38. Can we get into the five things?
Look at that.
Your whiskeys. Can we get into the five things that you need to know this morning? And then yeah, there are many messages coming through, but can we deal with those a little after seven? Including, let me just put it out there now, Eddie, who says, is it wrong to masturbate too much, Eddie?
Where the hell did that come from?
I think there is a point where it's too much.
No. Flex, go ahead.
Can we please talk about the news for now?
I prefer the news.
We'll come back.
Five things that you need to know this morning. First story that you need to know this morning. Well, yeah, the e-toll process has been postponed. The process that could see e-toll scrapped permanently has been postponed. This is what Transport Minister Fikile Mbalula has been alluding to and working towards. There we go. Transport Minister Fikile Mbalula says the deadline has been pushed back by 2 extra weeks. Mbalula says this is to allow for more consultations. The minister will meet with civil society groups such as AA and OUTA. I feel like we've been hearing various iterations of this the whole of last week. But anyway, SANRAL is owed close to 11 billion rands in unpaid e-toll fees. And in July, President Ramaphosa tasked the finance minister to work with Gauteng Premier David Makhura to find a solution to e-tolls. Hold your breath or don't hold your breath. Let's see what goes on there.
The solution is so simple. You turn those e-toll cameras into a data collection. So every car that goes by, you're just collecting that data and you sell it to another company. And now over like a decade or 20 years, you've now made back the money you've lost because you've sold the data on. All the companies want is big data. If you can work out how many BMWs are passing a certain intersection, guys love that stuff.
Mm. Well, that's also a comforting thought to know that Big Brother's watching you all the time, right? Second story that you need to know this morning. Well, Joburg police were called in to restore order yesterday morning after a fatal fire broke out in town. Now, it's understood an old building caught alight, killing 3 people, and another person was treated for smoke inhalation. Police spokesperson Captain Mavela Masonda said bystanders took advantage of the chaos and started looting nearby shops. Masonda said police used rubber bullets to disperse the crowd. 4 people were arrested for public violence following the looting of the shops, and according to Masonda, this is what he says as well, some criminals that were within the area, they started looting several shops that were around the vicinity. That's when we responded as police and arrested suspects. The cause of the fire is unknown at this stage, and those that were arrested were charged with public violence. I feel like we hear and read similar stories that are happening like this in town and including the police quite often now, don't you think so? Yeah. Mm. Third story that you need to know this morning, sticking to the police actually, Police Minister Begicele yesterday praised the selflessness of 27 officers killed this past year while serving their country. Cele was joined by Deputy President David Maboza and National Police Commissioner Keir Hlasitole at the annual SA Police Service Commemoration Day at the Union Buildings. Has anyone actually seen this at the Union Buildings?
No. Mm-mm.
So it's quite an... really a symbolic spot when you are looking out at the gardens with the Union Buildings behind you and you walk down a couple of platforms and you're walking into the gardens of the Union Buildings. That's where that iconic Nelson Mandela statue is. And if you're still keeping that perspective, you walk towards your left and there's this great building, well, a stands in memorial to a lot of the people who've died in the line of fire, so to speak. And I think it's quite fitting and really amazing that, you know, the SAPS do this. So yesterday that event was held. 26 officers and one reservist had their names engraved on the National Memorial Wall at the seat of government. So let's say the slain officers were heroes and touched on saying that the brave men and women whom we are commemorating today were of the caliber of people who served and protected all the people of the country without fear or favor. Selfless patriotism these fallen heroes and heroines displayed can never be emphasized.
Union Buildings in Pretoria, right?
Yeah.
And you can just go walk in there and have a tour.
You can walk around the building now. Way back when, I know that you were even allowed just to walk within the building. I think you could even get as close as viewing the president's office.
Oh, man.
Well, the window of the president's office from afar. But nowadays, I know that it's blocked off, and I think maybe there are certain tours that you can do inside the building, but definitely you can just drive up at any time and you can walk around.
That could be something cool to do on a Saturday.
Yeah, it really is awesome. It really, really is.
I must check
awesome.
It out.
Fourth story that you need to know this morning, the UCT has announced the election of its new chancellor. Have you heard about this? It's Precious Moloi Motsepe. Dr. Precious Moloi Motsepe will take up the position from the 1st of January next year. She takes over the reins from politician Gracia Machel, who was first elected back in 1999. Now, the new chancellor, who's married to Patrice Motsepe, is a businesswoman and philanthropist who started her career in medicine, actually, at Wits University. And she worked in various public hospitals in South Africa, as well as the Medical College of Virginia in the United States. And then final story you need to know this morning before we head off to the money shots. Well, hundreds of protesters gathered outside Hong Kong Airport on Sunday, disrupting travel to draw global attention to their fight for greater democracy for the Chinese-ruled city, which is facing its biggest political crisis, they say, in decades. Passengers continued to enter and leave the terminal freely as clouds hung low overhead and planes were still taking off and landing. So black-clad demonstrators targeted the airport 3 weeks ago. This is when the hub and the bub started, jamming the terminal in sometimes violent clashes with police and prompting some flights to be cancelled or delayed. Yeah, so we just have to keep our eyes on that regardless of what happens in the news. These protesters seem like it's still going on and still going on very strong. So, yeah, those are the five things that you need to know this morning. Leanne, are you okay?
Sorry. I'm scrolling through my news feed.
Get straight into it, Leanne. What's going on?
I'm scrolling through my news feed and I saw something that... I mean, I can watch things like Dr. Pimple Popper and... things like that.
But if you gag
there's a
and
picture
throw up here this morning, we're going to have a problem on our hands.
There's a photograph, and I looked at it closely because I was like, what is that? It says, feeling rough, stomach churning moment, dozens of maggots are squeezed out of a dog by a vet.
All right, cool. Let's move right
and then
along.
I had to share it with Michael because I needed that. You can't deal with alone.
I want to move on very swiftly.
Please, quickly. I've scrolled past it and we're not going to talk about it.
No. Donna Summer, help us. Let's just move
please.
On from here. Some old school, proper Donna Summer. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Sia.
How
I
are
see
you?
We have a full house this morning.
Right?
Lovely.
It's a nice little family reunion going on here. So Gareth may be living his best life on somewhere in
yeah,
Italy
but we're
right
just
now.
Yeah, family life, right?
Yeah, sure. We have our cool points in other ways, Anthea.
And it's spring and all.
Yeah, happy spring day. That's your thing, by the way, as well. Let's get straight into it. Let's look at, you know, there were a lot of company reports and results from last week.
Indeed. And we closed out the month, of course, on Friday. A pretty bad month, actually. Worst for emerging markets. Not just us, thank goodness. Argentina basically imploded. The Chinese let their yuan devalue. And so, of course, other emerging market currencies had their worst month in 22 years. So it's all feeling a bit heavy at the moment. The good news, though, is that South African gold producers had one of their longest positive runs in history as gold became the safe haven metal where investors are worried about global economic growth. I mean, so whereas the All Share Index is now 3% down for the year, the gold index is up 24% since the beginning of the year.
Let's cling on to any sort of good news, Anthea.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not a great gold investor. I don't love investing in gold, but you have to have some of it as a hedge in these tough times. Mm-hmm. And so that would have paid off. And so, and the company results are interesting because some really good and some really bad. I mean, so let's see, as I'm talking about gold, let's start with DRD Gold. Local South African gold producer, they put out a trading statement. Revenue increased by 11%. Cost of sales was up by 9%, so a bit of jaws going on there. So, you know, so still not terrible, but, I mean, to be considered. And so you've seen the share price really rally on the back of that. So while the while they reported, for the time they're reporting, the average gold price was 536,490 a kilo.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, gold spot has actually increased 31%. But we've also, that's June, so this is a trading statement to the end of June. So we've got July, August. So in the last 2 months, I mean, you've already seen that share price rally. So a lot of people are saying, so should I be buying DRD gold? I think it might be too late.
Really?
Missed that one. Yeah, because the market price is forward and you've had the rally. I'm not sure that gold is going to continue running the way it is, even though, I mean, it really is a safe haven and we're all worried about a recession next year, maybe even this year. But the point is, I think that speculators are at their highest possible gold positions in history at the moment. So there's not, I'm not sure there's that much room to maneuver.
Hmm.
And then we also saw Imperial Logistics, which is a local ground freight company, reported a 7% fall in full year earnings. And there's a couple of things here, but basically they're blaming poor economic conditions, low consumer spending, fuel price volatility, and rolling power cuts.
So basically, what aren't they blaming for this?
Well, in a nutshell, the South African economy.
That's
right?
It.
Next thing,
the weather will come into play.
But it does impact their business, be fair. They did also have a one-off trading cost of 65 million rand in international operations. Another 170 million rand associated with business rationalization, so restructuring in other words. And then on top of all of that, they wrote down 1.1 billion rand in historic goodwill. Now, goodwill is an intangible asset, right? It's something you purchase. It's like brand. You can't touch it. It's what's the brand worth or what are the people worth? Why they're hanging on to 1.1 billion rands worth of goodwill is beyond me. Well, they're not anymore. They've finally written it off. But that's a huge chunk. I mean, it feels like they've basically kitchen-sinked all the bad things in this business, hoping for a turnaround. And I think if you have an economic turnaround, then you'll see the share price rally.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the catalyst for all of that? It's so difficult to say. And then another company that's blaming the economy, stupid, and I'm not calling you stupid.
Hey, mind your words.
That's you can look it up. I promise you I'm not. It's a saying by James Carville, who was Clinton's advisor when he was running against Bush.
Uh-huh.
And so when Bush was in power, the economy went into recession, and this James Carville, the advisor, turned around and said, you know what, we should use that against the sitting president to win the election, which they did, of course, do. So it's the economy, stupid. Clientele's profits falling 18%.
Another decline.
Mm-hmm. So Clientele, I'm sure you've seen the ads on TV. They're an entry-level insurer.
Uh-huh.
And they're saying it's because of high unemployment, because people are withdrawing their investments. And so, of course, when you're unemployed, the first thing that goes is insurance.
Mm.
Because it's seen as kind of a luxury, I guess, which is crazy.
Up until you need it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you realize how important it is.
And because people are losing their jobs, they're also withdrawing their investments,
mm-hmm.
which is a terrible thing to do. But I guess what can you do when you're stuck for money, right? And so again, you know, they're saying, oh, they're still quite positive. They've got this community and loyalty programs. I mean, every insurer and bank is doing loyalty programs at the moment.
But Anthea, I think results like this from Clientele are even more telling of the state of the country.
Absolutely.
As an entry-level company who's reporting results like this. If, you know, they were offering things that were a little more expensive,
right? Yeah, exactly.
You'd go, yeah, people can't really afford something like this. But for entry-level, this means a lot of us are feeling the pinch more.
Absolutely.
Shucks.
Right down, right all the way through the economy, I promise you.
Mm.
Some good news, though. Stadio, which was the tertiary education business that was spun out of Curo last year.
Okay.
They reported a 46% increase in headline earnings per share for the first 6 months of their financial year. Revenue increased by 38% to 409 million rand.
Wow.
Company seeing an increase of 10% of their students in 2018. Don't forget they're reporting for last year. And they're saying mostly due to enrollment at the Milk Park Education Facility during the period. There's no doubt, I think, that it's kind of this semi-private, middle-income education is definitely thriving, because we saw Curo's results a while ago. Initially, we thought they were quite bad, but it looks now like Curo are spending their money more on expanding facilities and just not holding on to profits, which we like about companies. And they're not really losing that many students. You know, the one concern, I think, is this huge immigration issue where everyone's leaving and everyone who can afford to leave South Africa is leaving. I wish I had official stats on that, because it's all hearsay. And we don't actually know the numbers, but I don't think it's as bad as we think it is, or the impact on these private schools isn't as bad as we think it is. I don't know. It's kind of one of those things. You kind of have to guess your way through it, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then the last one, I'm not going to bore you with too many company results. I mean, there were lots last week. We were busy. Dis-Dis-Chem, which is always an interesting one, put out a trading statement saying that its revenue rose 13.5% for the first 5 months of their trading year. So that's quite nice to see, because this is a business that has been plagued with kind of strikes and a fire at their DC, their distribution center. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see that things are improving a little bit for them.
Dis-Chem just has some voodoo over normal consumers in any case when you
walk
in.
Oh, you too.
There.
Yeah.
I was the only one.
It's that Dis-Chem curse. You think, I'm going in there, I'm just going to buy soap. You walk out of there with a trolley of like soap, 24 plasters, antiseptic liquid.
What? I have a question for you. What makes them better than Clicks? Because they're exactly the same.
It depends on what I need. You know, I think they...
You would go into Clicks for soap and Dis-Chem, but why wouldn't you come out with a trolley?
I don't think they're exactly the same.
What's different?
Because like they also have a pharmacy, you know, I find
Clicks
that...
Clicks has a pharmacy?
Yeah, I find that convenient.
Yeah, but for instance, with my mum who had her stroke and has been through various phases of needing commodes and wheelchairs and different types of nappies, all types of saline solutions, gloves, all of that, you can't get at Clicks.
Okay. So for chronic medication or for kind of the more important equipment stuff, they definitely... But yeah. Sia, you don't need that. So why do you go to Dis-Chem and spend all that money and not to Clicks?
Yeah, good point. I don't know.
Wider aisles, maybe?
Does that matter to me? No, it doesn't really
wider
matter
Wider aisles,
to me.
They also definitely seem wider bigger.
No, they...
Yeah?
They definitely are bigger. Yeah. The storefronts for Dis-Chem compared to Clicks. Well, at least the ones I've been to, I find the Dis-Chem's a lot bigger than the Clicks. The whole experience of getting in and out is much quicker than at Clicks. Even like if you at the till points at Dis-Chem, there's maybe like 12, 15 till points. The most I've seen at a Clicks is like 3 or 4.
Hmm. Okay.
They're not always all manned.
Convenience, yeah. All right.
And variety. I think there's way more variety in Dis-Chem than Clicks.
Yeah, and I think as well from the health foods perspective, you know, they've got, Dis-Chem has fridges of prepared meals.
Okay.
But yeah. It all depends what you need in the day. Like if I need one specific item, I would,
like, and
a
batteries.
Clicks is, yes, and a Clicks is close, I'll go to the Clicks. Mm. But if I need a handful of items like conditioner and this and that, then I'll go to the Dis-Chem because I know I'll find that all very quickly and pay and get out.
And I think Dis-Chem holds more variety of beauty products.
And you get e-bucks at Dis-Chem. I don't
you
think can
you can use
get e-bucks
and spend it. Your e-bucks.
Yeah, but the club card, never mind. You know, now we're going
to
go.
I'm so glad I asked. So I'll add that to my fundamental analysis. I'm going to hold on to my Dis-Chem shares then, shall I?
Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys.
Here's quite a question from Tato asks, Anthea, please explain why banks incentivize the use of credit cards over debit cards.
Because check your credit card interest. They're charging you 22%, whereas they don't charge you that on your debit cards.
There's also no limits.
Banks make more money from you on their credit cards. Ooh. Cut that credit card up now.
You know, this thing called life, and there we are just being played. Like,
totally. And don't even think of going store card, right? Because there the interest rates are like 27%. If you have a store card, I'm not joking. Cut that up for sure.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow. Someone literally...
Did you hear how serious she sounded
there? A brand literally sent me a store card in the mail the other day. I've never even like engaged with this brand. And they preloaded the store card with like R1,000. But in order to unlock the R1,000, I have to spend R2,000.
There we go.
It had my name on the card already. It's like, just sign here and go shopping.
There's always a catch. You've grown up. You're adult now.
Oh, no, I tore it up straight away. I was like, not falling for this.
Good, and you're adulting well.
There we go. I like it. You have the Anthea Gardner seal of approval. And then Nannis closes off by adding to our points earlier, saying, yes, Dis-Kim got e-bucks. So, yeah. Anthea, thank you so much.
Pleasure, guys. Have a great week.
What's this week looking like for you?
It's another busy week. We're pretty much in reporting season, but I'm here all week, and then next week I'm in Cape Town.
Must be nice.
Have you seen, before I go, Jack Ma is coming out saying he now wants a 12-hour work week, so basically 3 days a week, 4 hours a day. Jack Ma, by the way, is the same guy who was previously preaching 996.
Yes, that was like his whole formula. That's what he was preaching for. He was saying, right? You have to be committed.
You have to work 6 days a week from 9 to 9, 12 hours a day. Now he's saying 12 hours a week.
Sure, look, I'm not going to dispute him there.
We're not arguing.
If a billionaire says to you, let's work 3 days a week, absolutely, Jack Ma, I'll listen to you there.
Well, I hope you have a 12-hour week.
Thank you, Anthea. Cheers. Have a good week, Anthea. Thanks for that with the money shot. Guys, as we close off part one, can I just be a little corny?
Go ahead.
With our song choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Google, what did you want to say?
I just wanted to say we had a burning question by Eddie, which Flex was so keen to answer.
It was more of a comment than an answer. A one-liner statement.
Okay, go ahead. Because Eddie says... Guys, why do I put myself in these situations? Eddie first says, I masturbate. I'm assuming you're trying to say, I masturbated furiously this weekend. And then added, is it wrong to masturbate too much?
I feel if I was like a presenter on TLC, I'd say too much of that is definitely bad for you.
No, if it impedes on your job and you can't do normal things like go grocery shopping, then it's a problem. But the rest of your time, do it whatever the fuck you like, really.
Just don't hurt yourself, Eddie. That's all. Just don't hurt yourself. Carpet burn, all that.
What are you... You know what? I actually don't want to know. I was going to ask, what are you doing if it results in carpet burn, Google? But anyway...
Hey, the songs, yeah?
Let's move on. This is CliffCentral.com.